Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I am Jerry, joined today by Max and Terry. Guys, Derby weekend approacheth. It's going to be kind of a weird one for me, I'll go ahead and tell you. I'm running a 5K on Saturday, and then the game is on Sunday, which is great timing, by the way. Because imagine if it was on Saturday and I was having to run a 5K and immediately turn around and watch a damn derby. I couldn't do that, I don't think. It would be kind of tough.
No. Imagine the pain that you're going to be in, and then add that to the fact we're probably going to get stuffed 4-0 or something. That will hurt, Jerry. Think that one through me.
I'm not sure if we're going to have the same optimism that Max is bringing throughout this entire show, but we'll see. So, guys, a little bit of etiquette, though, in terms of wearing Everton gear at public things. I was thinking about wearing something Everton-based during my 5K just to kind of represent because it's Derby weekend, okay? Now, I've got a pair of Everton shorts. Like those Lecoq Sportif shorts, you know, the ones from, I feel like it was almost 10 years ago. They're white and they got the old logo on it and it's kind of rad. I run in those a lot, but I hesitate to wear anything more than just a pair of shorts. How ridiculous is it to try to wear a shirt during a race? Does that look, is that like... full kit wanker.
Nah, that's not bad.
You know
bad.
What I mean?
That's not bad, bro. Are they like footy shorts or training shorts?
Well, they're sort of... They've got that inner lining.
Have they got pockets?
They don't have pockets. Mm. No pockets.
No go for me. You need to have pockets.
Yeah.
See, I don't like running with anything in my pockets. So I give all my stuff to my wife and everything. And so running in those without pockets is fine for me.
Nah, the training shorts are good because you need the pockets, man, especially these.
Yeah.
These.
I don't have any of those.
Got zips, they're great. Every single year when Umbro do the big fire sale at the end of the year, every single pair of training shorts gets purchased.
Do they? So I've heard people mention that before. See, I don't have any of that. I think these are just straight footy shorts, and that's all I've got. So it's either wear those or like an other pair of soccer shorts that doesn't even have lining. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have no running equipment except for running shoes. So I don't know. I wanted to figure out like how is it like really like faux pas to like sport like an Everton shirt, like a jersey, you know, like a.
That's fine.
You know what I'm,
okay.
Fine. Is it?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's not if you're just going like to the shop, but it's fine to running a marathon. It's fine.
Okay. Okay. Because what I was hesitant to do is to like do that and then take a selfie and go, hey guys, look at this, and y'all just sitting there shaking your head like, what the hell is Jerry doing? You know, because I would think that would happen often if I go with my instincts. So anyway, so are either one of you guys going to the match this weekend?
I went there twice last season. I don't fancy going again.
Oh, not me.
So, my wife and I are going to, like, a pub with other Everton supporters, and there's going to be Liverpool supporters there. I've never watched an Everton game like this before.
It might be different in America. That scenario would be hell on earth if it was over there. But it might not be as bad in America.
See, I'm used to watching in my living room, where I can focus. It's a safe place. I can actually watch the football. I can actually think about what's happening, and I usually am not having a beer. You know what I mean? At this place, it'll be like 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. They're going to be opening just for this group to go in there and watch the game, and I'm probably going to have a beer. And it's probably going to be a lot of people talking, and I'm worried I'm not going to be able to focus. And if, let's say, we play like shit... Yeah. Mm. Then I'm going to have the Liverpool supporters like right there. Like right there in my face.
Nah. Worst one I ever had was, you know, when the infamous Mane 90 plus 4, that one, that derby from a few years back. I was in Amsterdam for that, watching it in a pub in Amsterdam. And because we were in the game, weren't we, for, you know, the large part of it. And you know, me and my other mate, who's an Evertonian, in there. And other than that, you wouldn't suspect there were any really football fans in the pub. Next thing, when that goal goes in, you get like a whole like section of these foreigners standing up cheering, and you're just like, "Oh, get me out of here!" It's ridiculous.
See, I was looking forward to it a little bit just because of the energy, you know, just the idea of, because this is probably the closest thing we have to actually going the game here, is actually gathering together and watching the game together on TV. So I was a little bit excited about it, but now I'm starting to worry about the weird discomforts of,
you'll be fine.
You might get Derby nerves where it's like stomach wrench and stuff in the morning. You think, oh, and every single, it's the most tense game you'll ever watch when you're around like other supporters, because you just know if you're at home and you concede, at least you can sort of hide behind the couch and you'd be in your base. Whereas if you're around everyone else, not only does it happen and it hits you in the guts anyway, everyone else, like the others, jump up and cheer, and it just twists the knife so much. So,
that would be my concern.
I feel for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, but I totally know the Derby nerves you're talking about. Like last year, I had to watch it. We were out of town and we were visiting my buddy Devin, and we were having to watch like on my computer, and it was the game where I think we ended up drawing 1-1, and the penalty at the end with DCL drawing the penalty, and like it was the worst game ever to watch. It was so tough to watch because it was us constantly like, not in the face, not in the face, you know, just repeatedly. And then when we drew that PK, I like went over to a display cabinet and I shocked everyone in the room by like humping the display cabinet. And it was, I was so happy that we had gotten a penalty. It didn't even occur to me that we might miss it. But yeah, so it was, honestly though, I am excited. I'm excited, nervous, all that stuff. It's neat to feel like, you know, I don't think it's going to feel like last year exactly, which is nice, because that feeling sucked. So now that we've gotten all that out of the way, quick summary of what's happening this show. For the podcast, we're going to start with a Derby match preview. Yeah, that's what's supposed to be there. Then we're going to go to the starting 11. Who do we think Silva's going to go with? Then I'll probably let these guys take a lead on memorable Derby heroes, because frankly, with my fledgling Everton supporter experience, it's not as in-depth. I don't have a lot of memorable Derby heroes to like rattle off, so we'll talk about that, and then we'll finish with If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz show that will pit Terry versus Max in a matchup, a cage match of Everton wit and might. It'll be a number conundrum, guys, so get your calculators ready. Max, you being in the state that you're in right now, happy maths.
Why did you do this to me?
I did not. Quizmaster John, by the way.
Again? Put me off on the wrong foot already.
You'll be okay. So, Derby match preview. Currently, the Shite are second in the league. 33 points. They're 10-3. And they haven't lost a game in the league. They did this week lose to PSG 2-1. And the only goal they got was a penalty. So there's that. Before that, they beat Watford 3-0, beat Fulham 2-0, and lost to Red Star 2-0. I normally only go three games back, but sorry, losing to Red Star needs to be mentioned. Just saying. As we know, guys, Henderson is banned for this one, which some will argue is a bad thing for us. Terry, let's get us started off. How do you see this going? And then we'll give Max a turn, and then I'll talk about the possible starters for them. Talk about their form right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult one, really, because they've been winning a lot. Like they're still obviously undefeated this season. They've won a lot of games, but they're not playing at their best. Like they were sort of better last season when they were just absolutely blowing every team they played away, whereas they're sort of like grinding the results out at the minute. Like, don't get me wrong, they're not struggling in many of the games because they're not really, you know, apart from Man City earlier in the season, they're not really coming up against the best of the best just yet. And when they did, they played Arsenal, and that was the one they came the closest to losing in, because Arsenal were all over them in that game. But they've been going about it with a quiet efficiency, so they're winning matches and playing and getting all good results, and they're well up there in the title race, but they're not playing at the level that they're capable of. So it's difficult to know what to expect when you're playing them. They make no mistake, they are a very good team. They are a very good team anyway, and they're a very good big game team. They've got a lot of big game players. We know this more than anyone. So you don't know whether we're going to turn up, and the team that usually turns up against Everton is going to be this. No nerves, well up for the game, and just Everton have already beaten themselves in their own mind before they take to the pitch. Or the team that turned up against Paris Saint-Germain in the week, who just didn't look themselves. They looked disjointed. They've been really good defensively this season. They didn't look it on Wednesday. So you don't know. It's knowing what to expect. I mean, they've got a lot of good players. They've got some real players who can hit you, and they're probably now, at this point, a 90-point team in the league, which is unfortunate for them, because now there's also a 100-point team in the league in Man City. But forget for a second that there are local rivals. If we were going into this game against a team from the other end of the country who played in all white instead of all red, we'd be going into this game going, this is going to be a really difficult game because they're such a good team. If you take the emotion of the derby out of it, this is going to be a tough one. This is probably going to be our toughest game so far this season, even if they are not at their best, because credit where it's due, the team's really strong. I just hope we get a sort of this lesser version of Liverpool, which, if you can call it such a thing, than we get the normal all guns blazing big game Liverpool, because we've got a bit of punch and power ourselves. We can hurt teams, but not many. In fact, there's only really one team in the league who can really hang with Liverpool when they're at their best, and we're not that team, unfortunately.
Max, what do you got?
I certainly think the game is going to be more competitive than it has been in recent years. I mean, we're sixth this time round, you know, we're looking half decent. We're not going into this game as a battered down underdog. We're in a groove of good form, and obviously it's the Anfield hoodoo that we've got to contend with, isn't it? And Terry made a great point earlier in the week where he said, you know, this Everton team that'll be for playing them on the weekend, a lot of them haven't played Liverpool before, and although we probably said that the season before, fingers crossed this is the time where they managed to string it together. But in regards to Liverpool, I think you look at them from last season to this season, they fixed their areas of weakness, no problems about it. They brought in Alisson, they brought in Van Dijk, you know, they fixed the goalkeeper, fixed the defence, they've kept a lot of clean sheets in the league so far this season. Jürgen's mighty Reds haven't turned up away from home in the Champions League, and hopefully that bodes well for us coming into this weekend. Obviously, as Teddy said as well, that performance against PSG wasn't Liverpool at the sparkling best. But I hope we can give them a good game, and as I say, it's this inferiority complex that we've got to contend with, that if we get a goal, we can't wet the bed. We've got to we've got to be strong and puff our chests out and try and play.
Rivalries are a weird thing, all right? The best teams treat every game as though it's its own thing. Every game is important. And when you focus on that, you end up being a consistent club. You end up having consistent effort. You go there, you execute your game plan. I've been on the end of rivalries where your team gets so excited and puts so much on a game that it makes you emotionally vulnerable. You know, you put so much into it that the minute things don't go your way, it comes crashing down. And it's... then again, I've been on the end of a rivalry where we had no business competing against a team, and because we put so much on it, we were able to perform outside of ourselves. Okay, and we actually, I mean, My high school soccer team was not very good, and we were playing a nationally ranked team. We should have been beaten, but somehow we beat them. Luck, but hard work, circumstances, being tough up in your brain. So it's a strange thing. I hear a lot of people saying, you know, good players and experienced players in these type of moments know what's needed in a derby. But then I see other people saying, we should treat this just as 3 points. This is a game. This is like any other game. Go into it and treat it like it's 3 points.
No, it's
I'm vexed because I feel like a rivalry, the emotional charge that comes with that, it's hard to say it's just like, you know, Max, exactly where you're going with that.
We haven't picked up 3 points against them since what, 2010? So I don't know how you could look at this game as just 3 points, considering we haven't beat them in God knows how long. But it's going to be a tight pitch. Obviously, that's a big thing about Anfield that often goes unsaid, really. It's very chaotic. When you watch, and that may bode well for the likes of Bernard, Richarlison, Gomez, those players with that tight control and the ability to stay calm, which juxtaposes some of the players that we've had in the past, as you say. Some of them might get emotionally carried away and, you know, just might get a bit too heavy on the shoulders, whereas these players that we've got now, they look, they're like, we're in sixth position. I mean, we expect to see our team higher than that, but you know, they look comfortable where they are. They don't seem like they're overachieving by any stretch. And, you know, hopefully you're going by the last away results against the big six. The Arsenal game, we didn't even have our strongest 11 out. The United game, we were cheated. And the Chelsea game, you know, we got a point, good performance. And maybe this is the one where we chalk three.
So I wanted to clarify something. And do you think it would actually help if we were to somehow, because we have all these new players. We talked about this before. You guys mentioned it in previous recording about how a lot of these new players have never played Liverpool before. Mm. And their ability to be able to kind of not be aware of the past, not be aware of the expectations, the pressing need to beat Liverpool. They can just come in and say, yeah, it's a big game, but it's just like another big game. I mean, you know, would it help us to kind of have more players like that, to kind of shed that other mentality, Terry?
Well, Max said it before. I touched on it earlier in the week. Just what he said before, it'll never be just another game. It can't. No football player in world football would treat a derby like just another game. They can't. They all do. Even Liverpool, even though they win all the ones against us these days, they won't go into it, this is just another game, because they know this is going to be different, this is going to be more physical, this is going to be more hotly contested. The difference, hopefully, this year, because we've said things like this in the past where we had all these X factors that, like, well, now we're in good form and they're not, or now we've got this and they haven't, and it didn't, on the day, it didn't bear out. But now, it's... Hopefully, if you look at our recent first 11, there's a lot of players in there, and it's not just they've not got the stigma of losing to Liverpool all the time on them, because not even some of the players who were there last season, like Sigurdsson, Pickford, they've got the stomach for a big game, especially Pickford. You've seen what he was like at the World Cup. But it's just the mentality not to panic. The likes of Andre Gomez, the likes of Yerry Mina, you're hoping that they can come in now and go, right, we've got the mental strength to take, you know, to see out a big game. This is a big game. It's you know, the fans really want it. This run we've been on for so long has gone past the point of embarrassing. It needs it. We're going to beat them eventually again. And why not now? What better way could some of these new players do to just endear themselves and this manager as well to the supporters, to finally get that monkey off our back of A, not beating Liverpool at all since 2010 and not beating them at Anfield since 1999. So that's verging on, you know, 20 years soon. It's just seeing out those key moments in the games. And you've got, I'd use Andre Gomez as a good example. He looks like he's got the sort of sort of steel to go through those key moments. And he'll get the ball and he won't just like shank it out when he's under pressure. He'll pull away, and he's, you know, his movement's smooth. And even though we've had good players in the past, that's where they fell down. We had good players to play against Liverpool, but we treated it like it was this super game. This, like, everything rides on this, and the nerves got to them. We were beaten before we took to the pitch, and the Liverpool players knew it. The Liverpool players knew these won it too much, and it works against them. And that's what I'm hoping stops now, because last season, amongst all the mess of what went on last season, we actually saw an improved showing in the derbies. I mean, Sam Allardyce took all three of them, so, you know, it's a sort of Pyrrhic victory. But we didn't seem scared of Liverpool. We didn't do well against them. It's nothing to write home about, getting two draws and a cup defeat, but it wasn't the 3-4 goal like routes that it had been recently. It had been an improvement in mentality. It's like, we're going to play them. It's a game. They're a good team. Now, that's what I hope comes in. I hope Richarlison and players like that go, now what we're going to do, we're going to show our stuff. We're going to play our game, and they're going to play their game. And we're just going to fight each other in the middle of the ring, and we're going to see who comes out on top, not us go there and change formation and change all the personnel around to go, right, he's good, so how do we combat him? Okay, let's play Holgate at right wing back, where he's never played before, because they've got someone really strong down the left, so we'll do, just don't do any of that. It works against you. All you do is invite Liverpool on, and that's what I'm hoping Silva will just bin. It's like, it's time to forget about all that. They're a good team, but they're not an unbeatable team. Someone will beat them. Why not us?
Yeah, I've seen it mentioned, some people saying maybe we go three at the back. And I'm thinking, why change something? It's an over-respect. You know what I mean? That kind of makes you think, let's change our formation against a team like that. No. Let's go with our normal formation. Let's just approach this. And that's, again, it's not thinking, hey, this is a really good team, we have to change things and make sure they don't score on us. It's, no, we'll go in and we'll do our game plan because we deserve to be in this game, damn it. And that's the thing, feeling like you deserve to be there. You know, I think a lot of times the derby almost means too much to some of the players that we've had. And that's been a problem. But you look at, you know, some of our starters, you know, Richarlison will look and be like, so, you say, yeah, that's Liverpool. I don't care. You know, I played for Brazil. Did you know I played for Brazil? You know what I mean? Bernard has played in Champions League matches, a lot of them. And yes, he's played for Brazil as well. I mean, a lot of our players have played World Cup matches against elite opposition. The players we have lining up now, they play at elite levels. And they will look across the pitch and they'll say, eh. They're good. They're a good team. I've played good teams before. I've been in good games before. Andre Gomez, Mina, Dean, they played for Barcelona, for God's sake. You know what I mean? They can handle it. So, yeah, I think the mentality of this one is not going to be the way it has before, at least the mentality. They are good. I mean, if you look at, I mean, the possible starters, Alisson, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Lovren, or is Gomez injured or is he okay to play?
No, he played right back against PSG, so I think he's okay.
He could play. So I think we could either see Lovren or Gomez slotting in there beside Van Dijk. Then Robertson, Genie Wijnaldum, Milner, Shaqiri, Firmino, Mane, Salah, and you could see Naby Keita come in there. I mean, it's a talented team, and they've had a system, and they've been playing this system for a while now. Klopp has figured out how to get all of his players, all of his pieces, you know, knowing their roles. Salah and Mane are the two danger people on the attack, to me. I just don't want to include Firmino, just because he hasn't scored a lot of goals this season, so meh. But Van Dijk on set plays as well. We have learned that's a problem for him, so stick big old Yerry Mina on there, you know. Predictions, guys, because we have to do it. We do it every time. We have to do it. Max, you seem super excited to give your prediction.
1-0 the Blues. I'm going to be more specific. I'm going to say Luka Dean's going to score. I've got a feeling it's going to be like that Man United game under Martinez. I think it's going to be Marco Silva's version of that.
All right. Terry?
I'm going to go with 1-1. I think it'll be a really tight, really cagey game, and it'll be on as even. I think it'll be really close, and we'll both come away satisfied with the points and the strength of the game.
I always feel dumb picking us to win in big games like this, but I just want to do it. I just do, you know. I'm going to say 2-1 Blues, and I think Yeri Mina is going to score the winner, jumping like a foot higher than everybody else, you know, big header on a corner. I just want to see him dance at Anfield. I just want to see that.
Dance in front of the cop.
I will just take Mina staying on the pitch for the whole game. He is a walking red card. You say don't consider Firmino, you'll have to, because Firmino is trying to get that guaranteed red card off of Yeri Mina. He's been trying to suplex players every time he's been playing, and he's good at the trauma just from previous derbies leads me to, I just feel it in my soul that Yeri Mina's going to get it. He's either going to score that last minute winner off a corner and do his dance, or he's going to get sent off for a stupid avoidable foul against one of their fast attackers.
I think he'll be okay. Like, I feel, you know, he played for Colombia. He's played against these quick, fast attackers before, you know?
He fouled those two.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. Really, the Firmino thing is, I don't know. For me, like, right now, their most dangerous players, Salah and Mane, you know, in terms of goal scorers. And all of them are dangerous for falling down in the box. That's a thing. That is a legit thing, because water is wet. The Reds win a penalty. Just saying.
Andy Robertson versus
Twitter cliche. What was that?
Andy Robertson versus Seamus Coleman will be a massive part of the match, I think. Mm. If Coleman can get a grip of him, it's such a big deal, because that's so much of their, at the minute, not all the time, but so much of their play is coming down that left-hand side, because while some players are not hitting their best, Andy Robertson's actually playing some of his best football, so that right-hand, our right-hand side and their left could be a key battleground of the
whole match. Will Walcott track back and defend, or Lookman, or whoever's playing on that side, and help out? I think you'll see Idrissa Gueye coming back to help Coleman often. That's what I've seen a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we can talk more about that in the next segment, because that's our starting 11 segment, and that's where we actually talk about our guys. So, anything else on this derby match preview, guys?
Coleman Evans.
Yeah.
It's got to end sometime. Why not now?
All right, so that is it for our derby match preview. 3 points, please. Please! So, guys, starting 11, who's Silva going to go with? I've written down some names. I'd say there's a pretty solid chance we all have the exact same names, though. Yeah. All right? It's weird. I think there's a couple of places, possibilities for changing it up. I think there's two spots in particular that I'm thinking of. So let's get started, though. Max, it's your turn to go first. Can you bring yourself to pass by the hangover and give us your thoughts on the starting 11?
Jordan Pickford in goal, Luka Dean at left back, Yerry Mina and Michael Keane at centre half, Seamus Coleman at right back, central midfield, Idrissa Gueye and Andre Gomez, attacking midfield, Gylfi Sigurdsson, a front three of Bernard, Richarlison and Walcott.
Okay. Let's go to Terry. And then I'll go to me, and then we'll talk about why we're saying these things. Terry.
Jordan Pickford in goal. Seamus Coleman and Luca Dean are fullback. Centre-back, Yerry Mina and Michael Keane. Andre Gomez and Idrissa Gueye in centre midfield. Gylfi Sigurdsson attacking midfield. Front three of Bernard, Richarlison and Adamola Luckman.
Terry throws it down with something different. All right. Yeah. Snooze through this. Pickford, Coleman, Keane, Mina, Dean. Idrissa Gueye, Andre Gomez, Gylfi, Bernard, Walcott, Richarlison. I'm just going with the same thing Max said. I'm going with the same thing that has been happening. Terry has inserted Luckman, which is basically the only place I considered. No. I had one other place I considered tweaking. Okay? So, Terry, if you could give your reasons for starting Luckman.
Well, I think it will be the team that you two have gone with. But the reason I put in Luckman, because a lot of people won't change a winning team, and I'm usually of that thinking too. But in this case, you got to, as mentioned in the previous segment, that their left-hand side is huge right now for where all their goals are coming from. Now, on the one hand, you could say, well, why would you put Luckman there? He's not going to track back and be defensive as much as Walcott will. Now, Walcott's not great at that either, but he's certainly more responsible than Luckman on the evidence we've got so far. But the way I look at it is, if you're thinking who will be better defensively against that part of the pitch, that is part of the thinking where I think we've been going wrong for so long, is paying them a little bit too much respect. Put Luckman there and you give them something to worry about at a part of the pitch where they're going to be attacking more than they're defending. Andy Robertson cannot go forward at will if he has got Adamola Luckman on that side, who has got it in his locker, we've seen in recent weeks, to tear some fullbacks apart. Now, I'm not suggesting he'll tear Robertson apart. He's an absolutely brilliant player, but he will give them something to worry about. If you've got Walcott there, Walcott's game is to be played in past the last man. So he doesn't pick up the ball and run at the fullback. That's not how he does it. He seems to attack the space behind. Whereas if we're defending, because we're at Anfield, remember, we're going to defend probably a little bit more than they are. If we're defending and you've got Luckman up at that side, Robertson is going to think twice about bombing on as much as he is, and he's going to pull one of their centre-backs, whichever side that is, I think it's Van Dijk, he's going to pull him out to compensate, which could create space in the middle. I don't think Walcott does that. I don't think Walcott gives them anywhere near as much of a headache as Luckman does. It is a risk. You do run the, you know, it could be he's not responsible enough defensively, and you could leave yourself exposed down that side. And you also take off a really good bench option in Luckman, which he has proven to be the last couple of games, and he was last year in the FA Cup derby. He came on the left-hand side and gave Gomez, who was playing right-back that day, an absolute nightmare. That may be the way he goes. I think it will be, but I'd just sort of get in their face a little bit and go, no, we're going to play Luckman on the right-hand side. Now, Robertson, deal with it. Because Robertson and Mane are very attacking as well, so I don't want to be defence versus attack for them. I want to have something to bring to the party as well, going down that side defensively, and I think Luckman would probably do a little bit more of that. Because don't forget, they actually really rate Luckman because of what he did to Gomez. So they are worried about Luckman. They won't admit they're worried about many players, but any Liverpool fan you speak to will cough to go, that Luckman's a good player, why don't you play him more? Because they've seen firsthand what he can do.
I was trying to remember whether it was Alexander-Arnold or Gomez that Luckman torched on the left repeatedly. I feel like they subbed whoever it was out and brought someone else in. Who did they bring in for Gomez then? Because I remember them subbing someone because he was just getting skinned alive. Anyway, that was what I was going to mention, was that exact moment and how good Luckman looked on the left last year. Max, your reasoning for sticking with Walcott, is it because that's what you think Silva's going to do, but if you were Silva, you would do differently? Or would you stick with Walcott if you were Mr. Manager?
I'm prefacing it off that little passage of play that came just before Gylfi Sigurdsson's goal just against Cardiff, where he kind of broke free, recouped the ball, an average shot that the goalkeeper parried and Sigurdsson knocked in. I just feel like if Walcott's going to have one of his games where he's hot on the heels, quick to close everything down, to chase, then particularly with their defence, obviously, it's not the worst thing in the world to get beat by Paris Saint-Germain, but they're not going to be full of confidence after that midweek game. So, I believe when you were saying there was two positions on the pitch where, are up for contention. For me, it was at both sides, both wide positions. Mm-hmm. But I don't think against Cardiff, I don't think Bernard or Walcott did enough to merit.
I agree.
A starting place. However, as Teddy said, Luckman is a really, really good option to come off the bench. But at the same time, you see the impact that he had, for example, in the FA Cup game. But you think if you start him in that game and if he plays kind of, chains free and, plays off the chain and he expresses himself, which he clearly did when he came on, he can cause havoc. Hopefully, we can find a bit more of a clinical edge in our game because we lacked that a lot against Cardiff, I thought. I don't think we didn't, in terms of expected goals, and certainly should have scored a lot more. And at Anfield, it's a place where if you're going to create expected goals, you've got to take them.
I think a part of that edge that was missing, they were packing so far back. I kept on thinking, why are we look so sloppy? Why do we keep missing passes by like this much? You know what I mean? It was always just that last ball that would get into the box that we were missing by, a foot to like 3 or 4 yards off. And I think a big part of that is they were packing back. They were not pressing. They were just bringing it back. And that's a lot more people in the passing lanes. That makes it a lot tougher. Liverpool's not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to be going out after us. I actually think that if we can keep our brain about us while defending and trying to keep ourselves organized defensively, if we can quickly counter and make those passes quickly with some precision, which I actually think we might, I think we could be okay.
Mm.
All right? I just don't think they're not going to respect us as much as Cardiff did. They're not. Because that's not what they do anyway. They go out there, they go straight for the throat. We're kind of a weird mix. Like, we press some, but we're not a pressing, all-out pressing, high-pressing team as like the way they are. We're different. It's not the same type of press.
I think our physical preparation for this game is absolutely essential. And I think Liverpool, the reason they are so good is because Jurgen Klopp's kind of evolved this team into a team of athletes. Each player in their starting 11, strong, fast, powerful, and they can hit you for 90 minutes, they can hit you for 120, and we have a history of falling short in big moments, and that is something that needs to change.
Yeah, and it's their urgency. They press, they win the ball, and as soon as they win the ball, they win it in a place where they want to win it, and they immediately know, okay, I need to play here or here or here. Depending on where the defense is, we're going to have men sitting there making those diagonal runs into space, because that's what their front three always love to do. Mm. And which is, that's one of the things, like, everywhere I was checking was talking about how Shaqiri would start, and I was thinking, well, normally, last season, they would have had three in the midfield and three up front, But the lineup I said in the last one was from a few websites kind of cobbled together, and that actually has just two and then three and then Salah up front. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I'll be curious to see how they approach that. But yeah, I don't know. One of the things that I mentioned that I was actually thinking, Max, when you're talking about both sides, you're right. Bernard looked like he was more successful right before he came off. It's like he finally started hitting a stride in the second half, And by that time, it was time to take him off, which was interesting. He hasn't looked phenomenal, but he's still creating opportunities to score. He's creating chances. That's still something that's happening. But I'll be curious if Tosin gets in, if DCL gets in order to put Richarlison on the wing. That's something, when you were talking about the sides, that's the other position I was thinking of, was the striker position in order to swap the side. So really, I meant three. Three players. One leads to the other and domino effect. So do we feel like Mina and Keane are quick enough to deal with their attack?
No, I've got to be honest.
But, I don't think anyone is, though. There's a lot of teams have struggled with the pace of their front players, but it's not about that. You can might as well, you can wish for anything. You're not going to wish for the players to be faster. It's just how you set up against them. If we're going to play our own game, we play quite a high line. Our defence is built around 1v1 battles. I think Alan Stubbs touched on it with Yerry Mina, that he's got the physical presence and the sort of the tools needed to win one-on-one sort of defender versus attacker situations, and I think there's going to be a lot of that. So it's not even about pacing, really. It's about reading the game and the anticipation, being there before they are. So if you can keep your shorts clean, if you're a defender for Everton in this game, then you've done a good job.
See, I mentioned that because some people have said that because of pace, because Zuma has more pace than Keane, possibly putting Zuma in there instead of Keane. I think when you get to that point, though, you're almost overthinking things, if that makes sense. And it really is about your system. The way we set up, the way that kind of defensive setup that we brought against Chelsea, the way we didn't really press near midfield, we just dropped back and closed down those passing lanes. I think you'll see us playing around with those kind of concepts, trying to be really, compact and not really trying to spread ourselves out and give them none of those lanes. Being really careful in those areas where they want to press. I feel like they're pressing. They love to press the fullbacks kind of just beyond the box, between the box and midfield. That's where they love to put that pressure. So I'll be curious to see how we deal with that. I think Andre Gomes is a huge part of this, guys. A huge part of being able to combine and getting us out of those spaces.
Same goes for Idrissa Gueye, I think. I think Idrissa Gueye is, our most naturally gifted athletic player. So, by right, that makes him, a real important part of this game. And fingers crossed he has a good one.
He's the one I see dropping back a lot in this one. When you were talking about how we set up, Terry, and I'm talking about adjusting to cutting down passing lanes, he's the one I specifically see pulling back every time they start wanting to combine. I don't know, guys. Anything else on our starting 11? I couldn't think. I feel like there's nothing else that can really be debated, though, in terms of lineup, in terms of player personnel. I do think Lookman, it would be nuts not to play him in that game this weekend. He's getting a lot of press about possibly starting. If he starts, that's awesome. I just feel like he's way more potent off the bench. You know what I mean? I love him off the bench. I like the idea of having a serious upgrade in intensity. I just don't know. I feel like you don't get that in Walcott right now yet. God, such a tough conversation, man. Because, Terry, you gave some really good reasons to play Lookman from the beginning.
I mean, that's what I do. I do think they'll go with what you said, and we'll just we'll probably see that Lookman, Calvert-Lewin, Tosin sort of dice roll sub towards the end of the game. I mean, could be that if we're chasing the game, or if it could be you bring Zuma on and go to the back three or the back five if you're trying to defend a lead. But it's good to have options on the bench either way, because you can change the game. That's something that we haven't had for a while, and not just specific to this game. It's helped us a lot this season. Actually having good players, not just capable players, they can come in and fill a spot. No, actually you can bring Adamola Luckman and Tosin on, who will completely offer something different to who they replace him. And that could be key, because they get it'll be the small margins that'll decide the game, I think.
I just love Luckman's, like, his determination to take people on this season, specifically. He's just looking across at the opposition and saying, I'm going to go around you. I may go this way to the middle. I may go around. But if the fact that his confidence this season, once he's got his head on straight, he has looked just dangerous. And we need somebody who can kind of unlock, you know, someone who can do that on the dribble if it's not with the pass. Because I don't think we still don't have a ton of players that can do that yet. So, all right, guys. I guess that's it for our starting 11 segment for the Derby this weekend. A lot of similar names. I think Luckman is the one big thing that's a lot of discussion, and whether or not we'll see Richarlison go in for Bernard, because Bernard hasn't been over-the-top brilliant every game. He's been all right. This is a memorable Derby Heroes segment, and I want to preface this, okay, because I've been following Everton since like 2012, maybe, because they just weren't on TV, you know, it's just, they didn't play Everton games on TV in America, it's just not something that happened, so I don't have a lot of Derby Heroes to spout off, you know, and we were talking off camera. You know, I could say, oh, that Jagielka goal was killer, right? It was a draw. It wasn't a win. It was a draw. We're talking about a series where the clubs are equal. You know what I mean? So we're not going to sit there and act like, okay, we get a draw. Oh, that's great. We're so lucky to have our draw. He's a hero. He gave us our draw. We're not going to do that. So that's not what this segment's about. All right? So I'll be asking these guys some questions, and they're going to be telling me what it's like to have a Derby hero, you know, because we should be winning some of these. It's not, this is not the way it should be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So, Terry, it's your turn to start off. Can you give me a particular instance in which you would say, yes, that person was a Derby hero for me?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the obvious one. I'm going to try, just because I'm a little bit older than Max, to go further back than Max typically.
I was going to ask if you could do that, actually. So,
because there's a couple of people who Max is going to like, who's going to pick, and I could pick, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be a nice guy and let him have them. I'm going to go for Lee Carsley, just for a moment, not for the Derby in general, but the first Derby victory I saw was the Lee Carsley Derby. Now, that's, I got into football quite late, so I was a teenager by then. But I went to the game. It was nothing like now, but we hadn't beaten Liverpool for a while. Like, Liverpool, it was early Moyes era. I think it was the season we finished fourth.
2004.
Yeah, 2004-05, it was the Goodison Derby first, wasn't it? So, what more can be said? It was just a tight game. Liverpool at the time were not the Liverpool of today. They were still a good team, don't get me wrong. They were still in the top, you know, sort of echelons of the league. But it had been so...
Yeah. So, for you people listening, Terry's stomach is growling. And it sounds a lot like a cat. But he's just hungry. That's all it is. He's just hungry. Bear with him. It's definitely not his cat hanging out, prowling around. We would never be so unprofessional. It's adorable. I'm leaving this in, by the way, because I like random little meow. But keep going. Sorry, Terry. Keep going, man. I didn't want to break your role there.
You did it at first, and I thought I got away with it, but...
I tried to just let it run just in case, but anyway, if people are listening, just enjoy the soothing sounds of Terry's cat, just saying. All right.
He's a good egg. She actually will sit and watch football if it's on the telly sometimes. So she's an Evertonian cat at the very least.
Yeah. Hey.
Wouldn't have it any other way. yeah, so just for that moment, just that the relief of winning the first derby for a while. And it was a good strike as well. He picked it up outside the area and he bends it round the defender, Chris Kirkland, the Liverpool keeper. He was enormous. He could have really got to it, but because he was his line of sight was blocked, he sees it too late, so the ball goes round him, and it just felt like, I was sitting behind the goal in the Gladys Street that day, it felt like it took an eternity to cross the line. And at that time, we were in a run of form where it was the peak David Moyes. We were really solid and really strong, so we won about 5 or 6 games in that half of the season, 1-0, and we just sort of, there was just an air around Goodison Park that if we went a goal in front, that was it. We weren't going to concede again. We were so resolute. We were so, like, stubborn in defence. And when the ball hit the net, it was like, we're going to win this game. We won't concede because we don't concede once we go 1-0 up. If we're going to lose, we concede first and we have to chase the game. We were such a strong unit. And it's just, it's unfortunately, there haven't been enough moments like that since, but you can't take that away from anyone. That was, it was such a, it's just a massive outpouring of relief. Oh, we've beat Liverpool, we've got that monkey off our back. It'd been a couple of years. Little did we know that in the future it was going to get worse, but at that time it was great. I mean, it just to win this one coming up, it'd be that times 10.
Wow. So Terry starts us off with Lee Carsley. 2004, I think that's what you said. So Max, where are you going to take us?
I feel I'll give a quick shout out to a few of my dad's heroes, to be honest, because my dad's actually seen some good players that have won derbies convincingly for us. So like Andrei Kanchelskis and Graham Sharp, he loves the bonds of them. But obviously for me, you know as well, it's my favourite game of all time. I went with my dad, the FA Cup. Fourth round.
Is this the Gosling?
The Gosling derby. Dan Gosling. Yeah. Just some kid come off the bench. Like, I think it was like 2 minutes before it went to penalties, and we all knew we'd get beat on penalties because they had like Torres, Alonso, Gerrard, all these players that could take set pieces. Gerrard got subbed off that game. Lucas Leiva got sent off. Everything just kind of went our way. And that goal, I'll never forget it. Like, you could hear a pin drop in the stadium when the ball left his foot. To the moment it touched the back of the net, and then the stadium just erupted, absolutely erupted. And yeah, I think I don't like the way he eventually left the club, but that's always going to be a fond memory for him.
Yeah, anybody who's been listening to the show, watching this show for a while, knows that I have a fondness for Jelovic, you know, and anybody who's listening and watching for this long also knows Max's affinity for that particular game, and every time Max gets talking about it, I get super jealous that I was not watching at that point, because it just, yeah, because I mean, that's your favorite, man. That's a serious imprint on you.
No, I think it was midweek as well, I think, because I remember I was in my nan and granddad's before the game. I'd gone straight from school to my nan and granddad. I was only in like primary school. My mum had left me a change of clothes to get picked up by my dad to go to the game. So he sorted me out like a new outfit, and that didn't bring me shoes, so I had to wear my school shoes to the bloody game. So I remember going to the game, sat with my dad in the family enclosure. Absolutely incredible. And then we went to the Black Horse on County Road after the game, and my dad turned around and he went, "That's like getting a bit of shit off your shoe that's been on your shoe for absolutely ages." It's exactly what it's like, and that's what it feels like.
It's so good.
Like, you fast forward to the likes of 2010 when Timmy Cahill and Mikel Arteta scored. Like, that's what it feels like. It, you know, feels like you can fight, you know, you're ahead of them. But it disappoints me, because I feel like around that era, I'd say Moyes' last two seasons, because then his last two seasons, we finished above them. And from after then, they just kind of went upwards, and Tottenham went upwards, and we just kind of stayed at that kind of nearly men level. But you know, hopefully with the team that we've got now, the backing staff, we can try and catch up, so to speak. But
a quick thing about that derby as well, that cup derby, is a little sweetener for that win was that was around the time that Benitez had once again made a fool of himself, and he, you know, caught in the previous derby early in the year, one of the league derbies, we frustrated him in some way by sort of locking them out, and he said that he said, "Oh, that's what small clubs do when they play us and so on." It was displaying a shock and lack of knowledge about English football, thinking Everton are a small club. Forget the rivalry. If you think Everton are small, you don't understand English football. And obviously that became a thing then, and Liverpool fans latched onto it. But the thing that was good at that time was he bemoaned how we played for a draw or we defended against Liverpool. And in that extra time, the same season, he'd started setting up for penalties. He was like defending, trying to squeeze the game off for penalties. Like, oh, I thought it was only small clubs who go defensive. And there you are, desperately trying to get to penalties, and this goal's just stopped that. It was nice to beat them, but it was extra nice to stick it to that idiot.
Definitely.
All right. So, Terry, do you have anything else you wanna add in terms of derby heroes that stick out for you?
Yeah, I can't even think of a specific moment because there's a couple, but I'm just going to throw in, you can't have any discussion about derby heroes in the modern era without mentioning Duncan Ferguson. He was on the end of some poor results against Liverpool in his time as well, but there was an era, even when his career was winding down, where Duncan Ferguson was the man to fear in the Merseyside derby. Even Liverpool's players, some of the better ones they had, will openly admit. Now, Jamie Carragher has even said he used to hate Ferguson playing in the derby, especially if he was coming off the bench or something like that, because he knew he was in for a fight. Duncan Ferguson got the derby and he got Everton. He used to rough up their players. He'd knock Sammy Hippier onto his arse. You know, he scored a few derby goals in his time as well. It's just I think that's a big reason why he was loved so much and still is by Everton supporters, because of his record and his performances in Merseyside derbies. He turned up for the Merseyside derby in a time where, even into the more modern era, where it wasn't a given for everyone. So, you know, some players do go missing in the derby. He never did. He took the fight to Liverpool, even if he wasn't technically as good as a lot of their players. His passion got him through, and that's what fans connected with him so much, because he had the passion that we've got. So Duncan Ferguson needs to be mentioned in any discussion about derby heroes.
Yeah, he's somebody that was allowing his emotion to kind of make his play better, you know, rather than allowing his emotion to overtake him and kind of... This is what we were talking about in the previous video about how it's easy to get overly emotional, and you want to play hard and you end up getting red carded like that.
Romeo,
you
know, I think, Mori.
Yeah, Funes Mori is the first one I thought of.
Yeah.
You know, just somebody who was so wanting so badly to be one of those derby heroes, and it's just such a misguided tackle to go in like that and then act like you just scored the winner. It just put us in such a worse scenario, being a man down. But Duncan Ferguson's somebody who can use that physicality and think, "No, screw this. We deserve to be here. I'm gonna dominate you physically," instead of, you know, "I'm gonna dominate you physically, but be smart about it, you know, and not let my head, you know, fall off my shoulders while I'm doing it." Mm. Yeah, Everton just today released a video that was Anfield Everton goals, like derby goals, and there's a good Duncan Ferguson one on there. The one from Arteta to Cahill, it was a free kick that Cahill just kind of gets in there and flicks. That was nice.
That was the end. That was the fourth round. That was the FA Cup game before the Godwin replay. Yeah. I remember that because
sweet goal.
Didn't one of their stewards try and prevent Cahill from going over to the corner flag or something like that?
I can't remember.
Sure, it was something like that, but I'm surprised his name hasn't been mentioned and discussed in depth, because I'm sure only Dixie Dean scored more than Tim Cahill in Merseyside Derby. It's like Tim Cahill's similar to this, you know, that similar ilk of Duncan Ferguson, where kind of wears his emotion on his sleeve and handles it well.
Well, at the beginning of the video, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to say, oh, I'll go further back. So I was like sort of laying off Tim Cahill as a suggestion to you. Going, I knew that he was going to come up just because he was the man for Merseyside Derby. Big, the most, such a big game player, and I don't think we've had one since, unless there's one in our team now that we're yet to see. But he lived for the big game, and we've missed that ever since. Everyone knew what he was going to do every game. He was going to ghost in on corners. He was going to, you know, find space in the box and score a header. And they still couldn't stop him. They knew every time. Watch him on set pieces and watch him in the air. Didn't work. There was goals he scored. Didn't he score where he assisted either him or Lescott scored in front of the cop, and they both just stood and looked at the cop, and it was just like,
laugh.
Love that. Love a bit of needle. Love it.
Cahill's the player that I'm angry I didn't get to watch enough games, because when I watch highlights, and I know how he plays because I've seen him play since he's left Everton. Often, you know, I've seen him play a lot. He's just the scrappy guy that plays bigger than he is. He's just one of those guys. It seems like he's almost all heart. And I'm so angry I came into it just after he left. Like, just after. I think I got to see maybe a few games, but not that many.
I think he did.
Because he's one of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah. Same for me, obviously, one of the childhood heroes, really. But I think he deserves a bit more technical credit, because you look back, I think it was that 2004-2005 season, he was absolutely fantastic. The goals he'd turn in, and, you know, just how effective he'd be up front. He'd be put up front as a lone striker sometimes when he wasn't even a striker. That's kind of going to draw me to my next Derby hero, being Andy Johnson, 2006. Mm. 3-0. Love that.
That was great. Just quickly on Cahill before we move on, biggest sort of shame about Tim Cahill was he never won a trophy at Everton, because I think if he did, no one would hesitate to call him an Everton legend. He's absolutely loved by everyone, but I think people, because he didn't win anything, are a little bit hesitant to put that word and put him in the on him and put him in the company of some of the players who did. He was brilliant. Every supporter loved him. He lived and breathed the club. He was a great player, but just that one thing missing was he was never in the team that won a trophy. And if he had been, he'd be up there with all the others. He'd be of that era. If anyone in that era would have stood out and said, "Oh yeah, the whole team who won the FA Cup or something in whatever year." Duncan Ferguson gets remembered for the 1985 and Amakachi, but not the whole team. If we'd have won, say, in 2009 and from the FA Cup final, the only players who would have come out of that and said they're Everton legends probably would have been Cahill and Arteta, despite everyone else having a part in it. But they would have been remembered as the legends of that time, maybe Pienaar, but Cahill the most.
Mm.
Yeah, Max, you're totally right about his technical ability tending to be overlooked. I think about that World Cup goal. You know the one I'm talking about.
Japan.
That volley.
Oh, no, the one against Holland.
Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I thought that when you said it, Jerry. That was the one I thought.
What? I'm sorry, but you sit there and you see him get all these scrappy goals, but then you see him do something so technically proficient that is textbook and what the hell. Sorry, that is just, yeah. He made good highlight. He gave good highlight, old Tim Cahill. Just saying. So talk about Andy Johnson really quick. We may have to wrap up with that because show's ballooning. So describe why you're you said 3-0.
Yeah, he scored two in a 3-0 win. Made Jose Reina look a bit of a prick. Fantastic. Ran away celebrating like that. Stuff of dreams. As I say, I'm 2006. How old am I there? Like, I don't know. Still only a young kid. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. So I suppose it's more kind of childhood affection rather than logic. But, you know, we haven't won near enough as what we should have against that demo.
Hmm. Anything else on Derby Heroes, guys? There's more names I'm sure we could be mentioning, but I wanted to make sure this was tailored to you guys and your personal experiences rather than just kind of vague, you know, because we're getting a lot of story about you here too. Because Max, the fact that you mentioned Andy Johnson, you know, I feel like that tells us a little bit about how old you were at that time. And I don't know, that's a good little character moment. I like that, you know.
Got to mention Jelavich as well. Just because it's like on the record, it's the worst football match I've ever attended in my life, and I don't think anything will ever come close to it. That 2-1 loss in the semi-final, but that moment where Jelavich puts us 1-1, I was at Wembley. I just remember turning around, and just people are just going absolutely nuts. You know, I don't think Sylvain Distan could ever let that down what he did.
And I actually know about that one. I remember somebody mentioning it, and I went back and I did some research and watched a lot of videos. Yeah. That one's a shame.
Hurts every time you watch it.
Ugh. Talk about anything else. all right. So I guess that's it for our Derby Heroes segment. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, which is the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Terry against Max in a cage match of Everton Wit and Might. This time, it's going to be a number conundrum, which is something that I wasn't really familiar with, and I had to get Quizmaster John to explain it to me. So eventually, it's like an Everton trivia math problem. All right? So, you know those things you had in maths class when you were in school and you got sick of it? And yeah, we're bringing it back. You know you hated it in school? We decided to do it now for fun. It's wicked, John. I'm just saying. Quizmaster John, I'm talking to you. Yeah, wicked. So this number conundrum deals with its stats. Its stats, you'll be cued with a particular Everton statistic, and then you'll have to add it, subtract it, multiply it, whatever, against another Everton statistic. And so, yeah, there's four parts to this, I believe, or four specific answers in order to give your final answer. And I expect you guys to show your work. No, I just wanted to say that like a math teacher. So if we could go ahead, do you have any questions? First of all, any questions, guys? Is this relatively straightforward?
Yeah, that's fine by me.
By statistics, like, are you just going to fire out random percentages and just be like, what's this? Or are we getting a bit like background information on them?
It'll be something like, give the number of appearances Ross Barkley made against, you know, Chelsea, and add that to the number of goals that Seamus Coleman has scored against, I don't know, Huddersfield. It's that kind of word problems.
Right. Okay.
Okay? So it'll make more sense when I'm giving actual statistics that mean something rather than grabbing shit out of the air. All right. All right. So anything else, guys? Are you ready?
I think Matt,
all right,
ready as he'll ever be. He's quite hungover, isn't he? So,
yeah, man. This is Max's kryptonite today. Mm. So,
it's that
if he performs today, then he just is.
So, don't know what that's about. Enough on me, please. Thank you.
I'm sorry, man. Hey, I'm just the messenger. All right, John, you hear the grievance. All right, so cue intense quiz music. And there it is. So, part one of the question. The minute Kevin Campbell scored in the 1-0 win at Anfield in 1999, multiply that times the amount of goals Lukaku scored against Liverpool overall.
Oh, I should know that, but I don't.
Then add the minute Dan Gosling scored for Everton in their FA Cup win over Liverpool in 2009. Then divide that by the amount of goals Tim Cahill scored against Liverpool. I will repeat that. I'm assuming you want me to.
Yeah.
The minute Kevin Campbell scored in the 1-0 win of Anfield in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Multiply that times the amount of goals Lukaku scored against Liverpool overall. Then add the minute Dan Gosling scored for Everton in their FA Cup win over Liverpool in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Then divide that by the amount of goals Tim Cahill scored against Liverpool. And I'm beginning the timer now.
I'm literally that hungover. I can't do this sum that's in front of me. Like, I don't know the answer. I'm looking at it and it's just like marking on a page to me.
Well, think hard because the countdown music is counting down right now. Isn't that like, dun-it,
dun-it,
something like that? Yeah. IT Crowd, thank you for teaching me about countdown. Are we good? Do we have answers?
Don't have an answer.
You guys have all the answers, right?
I've got a sum for you. I haven't got an answer.
Good. A sum is good.
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
All right. Max is not ready at all.
No.
He's got a number, but he hates that number.
Right
now, Max sort of hates all numbers.
It's got all decimals and shit in it. It's not him. It's not perfect.
All right. So, the minute Kevin Campbell scored in the 1-0 win at Anfield in 1999.
He said this the other day, right? But the fourth.
Okay. Max says it's the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Terry?
I thought it was the fourth.
I believe you are both correct. You remembered. That was nice. Look at how we learned from our previous. Yeah, that's beautiful. So next, multiply that times the amount of goals Lukaku scored against Liverpool overall. How many goals has Lukaku scored against Liverpool?
Is it three? I had three.
Terry says three.
I've written down three, but I'm thinking four now, maybe.
So you said three?
Yeah,
and
I
you said
three.
I
said three. I've written three,
okay.
But I'm thinking four now for some reason.
Well, guys, both of you are right.
Fair enough.
That's correct, both of you. Well done. Then add the minute Dan Gosling scored for Everton in their FA Cup win over Liverpool in 2009. What minute?
118, because it was 2 minutes before the end.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I remember that vividly.
Both of you guys, this is, at this point, regardless of what happens, that's pretty impressive, guys.
Yeah, it was.
That's pretty damn impressive.
I thought it was 2 minutes
this
before
last
penalties.
One,
2 minutes before
penalties.
Yeah, 2 minutes
before penalties. That's what I remembered it for.
Guys, the fact that you've got the three of the numbers right, it's impressive, okay? So this is maybe where this starts to go haywire, maybe. Then divide that by the amount of goals Tim Cahill scored against Liverpool.
Mm.
I tried to remember them all, and I think I've got eight. Did he score eight in his whole career against Liverpool? Well, it's Everton career.
Max?
It's the reason why my old sum's just not solved. I just put 12. I put 12 because obviously I kind of, you hear that stat that he's, no other Everton player scored more than you know, Dixie Dean. You just think like, well, it must have been a fair few, but I've got a feeling it'll be eight. Probably right.
So, the correct answer, let's hold off on that. I want to hear your totals. Okay. Terry, 4 times 3 plus 118 divided by 8 equals.
I used the calculator, sorry. So it was 20.
That's okay.
26.75. So you could round up and say 27.
Max.
You'd ever try dividing 118 by 12?
not in the past 5 minutes, no.
Mm-hmm.
I did yesterday, but I just don't remember what came out.
It's like one of,
what was it?
I don't know. I saw decimals and just shut down straight away. So, you know, I'm literally giving it on a silver platter to Teddy. Congratulations. I've literally not got an answer.
You're not even going to say a number? You're not going to say yourself?
I'm not even going to try and guess what 118 divided by 12 is, Jerry. I haven't got a clue.
I, to be fair, I did use a calculator for that. I wouldn't have just. Jerry said, "Get your calculators ready." I took them at face value.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I don't think it mattered because Tim Cahill evidently scored 5 goals against Liverpool.
Oh, what? I feel like
okay, making the total for all of that 4 × 3 = 12 plus 118 equals 130 divided by 5 equals 26. 26 is your total. Terry's total being 26.75. Pretty damn close. All right. Max's unknowable number, which, you know.
You may never know.
That's all right. That's all right. And guys, I still say this is a good show. Good show for you guys. Good showing. Well done. And so great. In fact, I somehow lost my pen in celebration. So, Terry. King of the hair band, but not the same kind of hair band, Max. Not the same kind. King of hair band, Dad Rock, Terry, what are you picking for us to close out to?
I think I will have Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue.
Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. I know a little Motley Crue. I do not know Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue.
Yeah, it's one of the more well-known ones, I think. But yeah, I just had a quick glance through. I got so used to not winning these that I stopped preparing songs beforehand. the first couple of times, I had that Kiss one in the back about, I don't know, at least 3 or 4 shows, and I didn't win the one. And I've won the last two and not been prepared and gone, oh, I need a song. So,
So, why? What's so great about Kickstart My Heart?
It's a good song. It's a good song. That's literally it. You ask why? The reason is, like I just said, because I panicked, not anticipating winning because of Max's record. I thought, I've won one recently, so that's me done for a couple of weeks. And Max is... he spiked himself against the for the quiz, so he's I've won by default, like on The Simpsons where Homer imagines how he's going to beat Dredrick Tatum, and a heart defect fells him moments before he steps in the ring. That's pretty much what actually happened. Then I've got in the ring and not had to fight.
Nice. So if this song were on a moment with a soundtrack to a movie moment, what would be happening in that movie moment?
Oh, lots of drugs.
Lots of drugs.
I think it's about drugs, actually. I think it's about someone who clinic either Nikki Sixx, a member of the band, or Slash from Guns N' Roses. It's one of them. I can't remember which one, but it needed to have a shot of adrenaline because his heart had stopped. I think it's Nikki Sixx, and that's what Kickstart My Heart comes from. Don't quote me on that, but yeah.
So it's not like lots of drugs, like, you know, you got a cold and go get some cough syrup and some, you know, decongestant. It's more, oh my God, we're gonna get effed up tonight, and they will have to kickstart my heart in order for us to, you know, when we're at the end of this. So yeah. Yeah. It's Terry, I'm wondering what Hardcore Party Terry was like a long time ago. That's Terry's like, no, it's like that now. What do you say?
Oh no, it's definitely the cough syrup and that now.
That's me too. Me too. I gotta get some Tylenol, my lungs are hurting. my inhaler for my asthma. Yeah, that's my life right now. It's really, I turned it into that guy from Family Guy, the drugstore owner. The oh hi, how you doing? What is it? My hemorrhoids are burning right now. It's very Woody Allen, you know. Anyway, okay. So as we listen to Motley Crue and another crazy turn by Terry. Congratulations, Terry. On your win. Max, we hope you recover physically and emotionally. We hope you'll be all right. Max just, you should, I just, people on the podcast, you should have seen Max's face when he found out this was a math.
Duh.
It was just utter loathing. I was like, anyway, well, as we listen to Motley Crue, I want to say thank you to everybody. It's the end of the big show. Thanks so much for listening. If you, please subscribe to the Top of Blues podcast, rate it if you can, leave us a kind review that says thanks for all these awesome music, you know, recommendations. Now I know what dad rock is. Yeah. Also, please check us out on YouTube, the Top of Blues YouTube channel, slowly growing the subs. It's kind of a cool thing. So please check us out there if you want to look at our faces while we speak. Check out Max on the Toffee Blues website. He adds analysis on there. Also, check out Terry on the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. Both those guys, they don't just appear and contribute on this show. They have other lives in which they contribute football analysis, so check them out there. Check out the Toffee Blues website, where there's a lot of Everton analysis by other contributors that show up here as well. So check that out. Follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I think that's about it. You might see Max on Premier League Productions coming up, so that's a thing. He went to Anfield, so you might see him talking about the Derby. Heck, you might see me and my kid on NBC Sports talking to Bernard. All kinds of weird stuff has been happening for our Toffee Blues guys, so check that out if you can. I guess that's it, gentlemen. Thanks so much, Terry. Thank you for another Dad Rock suggestion. I look forward to hearing it.
Anytime. Always a pleasure.
Max, recover, my friend.
I will. I need to get my first meal of the day, darling, to be honest. I'll be all right, after that.
All right. Guys, much love to you. Thanks so much. I hope the Derby goes smoothly, and we don't hate ourselves afterward. I think that's a pretty rational thing to ask for. So, guys, thanks again. Take care. Everybody else out there, enjoy Motley Crue. COYB. And bye-bye.